new meeting structure, but we have we actually have a new meeting template. I actually didn't realize that previously. But can you guys give me one sec? Let me see if you guys can see my screen. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes. Pretty new logo.
Yes. Fantastic. I really liked it.
Saki. Nice.
So the one of the really good things about this is we have the antitrust policy so that folks can see that on the front page as opposed to going off to another page. I think most of you guys have been on the call before. Milton's new. Before we start any of the Hyperledger calls, we revert over to the Hyperledger Code of Conduct and our antitrust policy. So if you have a moment, take a look. We'll start in a minute.
Nancy, I'm curious for the Chinese one. Mm-hmm. I can read some of it, not all, because I am not literate, but I'm just curious if they went with traditional characters or simplified characters and if they did both. Do you know that, or is there someone else I should ask about that?
So I can read a little bit.
Yeah. I can read a little bit. I'm just curious if they chose one over the other. And if both are available.
Yeah, I can't actually do anything with this these three. So this was just available as a template. I think simplified mostly, except that second word I'm not so sure about.
Yeah.
You've been on the technical steering committee and they meet on Thursdays and they have a page if you just want to like write them a note and have somebody get back to you on it.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Go right to the Hyperledger main wiki page and the TSC is listed on the left.
Okay. Well, thank you. So unfortunately, things like that choice can be seen as an extremely political one. And I have a feeling Hyperledger does not want to be making that type of political choice, or at least not without decision and conversation around it. And I overthink these things. So you can also tell me I'm overthinking it.
No, I mean, I think that, I think Bobby's entirely correct. I would definitely surface that with the technical side, what they would think about that.
Cool, thank you. I'll make a note. I'm making a note to myself and I'll send them a note after.
Awesome. And you have access to their like mailing lists and stuff like that, right?
I don't know why I wouldn't, because I've sent notes out over our mailing list and over another SIGS mailing list.
Okay, awesome.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, let me know if you need any help with that though.
I will. Thank you, Nancy.
Absolutely. All right. So, I think we're just going to take a quick look to see if there's anyone else new that I'm missing. So I think Sean's here, Mark's here, Bobby, Alicia, and then Milton. All right. Sounds good. So we might actually have a few folks joining a little bit later. So a couple of quick announcements. One in particular. So a little bit of trivia fact, but I was told by Karen that we actually had 18 new members join the SIG in the month of April, which is really exciting. So I wanted to kind of open it up the floor and get the opinion of you guys on how we can better engage and reach out to the new member communities, especially given that we're having a new influx of folks that are interested in joining. What are some ideas or any thoughts that you guys have on how we can better engage them? So one of the things that we were thinking about was shooting kind of email out to the mailing list and kind of getting them some core essential information on how to kind of get more involved, engaging them through, asking them to, from the mailing list, send responses back to what they're working on in the social impact space, especially if folks can't dial into this call.
Nancy, it's Bobby.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I am now working with the Government Blockchain Association.
Okay.
And in March, of 2021, they're going to have their annual competition where they give out blockchain awards. And again, one of the awards was social impact, and the project I was working on last year won it. So we're in charge of kind of the panel this year. So right now there's kind of an open call for people to create social impact projects for this competition. So maybe to engage people in the social impact Hyperledger working group, I mean, I can, as a part of the panel for deciding what, let's call them contestants, get into the running for this award, maybe that would be a good hook to pull people in, because I know a lot of people are task-driven, and a lot of problems with these working groups and with these SIGs is that there's really no finish line on a lot of things, and a lot of people like finish lines. So maybe if we could say, you know, here's the time frame. If you know of a social impact project that fits, and it's a very broad, I mean, there's four social impact categories. I think there's four categories for blockchain. One of them is social impact, but you know, you can throw it out there to have somebody present. Maybe we'll do it in, I don't know, March, September, October, where they're at with their projects at during our call. And then as a group, we can pick which ones we can present to the Global Blockchain Association competition.
Yeah, Bobby. And I think the overwhelming response with the last call is, and I think there's a lot of folks that are interested in the Global Blockchain Association opportunities. One of the things that we've done, so ID 2020 had reached out a little bit earlier, a couple weeks ago, and they're also doing kind of an open call. One things that we could do, and Bobby, you know, let me know, is if there is an open call or some type of information about this opportunity, if we can share it with the SIG mailing list and get folks to kind of respond, and then we can start pulling folks in to say, hey, like, you guys are interested in these opportunities, why don't we schedule a call, one of our, you know, bi-weekly meeting calls to discuss the various projects that folks are working on. And I think the other overwhelming response from the last call was, you know, I think we're interested in down the line having, you know, Bobby, maybe you can speak to us about this opportunity and get folks to understand where the opportunity is for them, especially in the, as they're kind of developing their projects.
Yes, and I also, on the Learning Materials Working Group, because of the way that the project that I was involved in last year played out, it was a bunch of meetup groups getting together to just do this project. And the template that we used to create it is up on the Learning Materials Working Group page. So basically, that's just guidelines, weekly guidelines and checkpoints that you would have to get through in order to create a proof of concept in this sector. So that could be helpful too.
Yeah, so that sounds great. So why don't we do this? Why don't we make it like a two-step process? So Bobby, for, you know, if you have the information available, we can surface to the mailing list, you know, the opportunity with the, you know, this opportunity, some a little bit more information and get folks interested. I think we can follow up with a call around this opportunity and get folks to kind of jump in and kind of pitch their ideas and see, you know, see if you can work with them a little bit on flushing some of those out and tailoring them for that, for the global blockchain, the Government Blockchain Association project. Does that sound good?
Yep, that sounds great. And I'm going to put the link to the page I was just talking about in the chat.
Awesome.
So there it's for anybody who wants to peruse.
Sounds great. So the other thing, I just wanted to say a quick welcome to Milton. I know Milton got to briefly introduce himself, and we'll have him speak a little bit more about some of the things that he's working on. So Milton, thank you for joining us, and welcome, and we're looking forward to hearing some of your projects. The other thing,
great.
Excellent. And then I also see someone new, Alisa Cardenas. Hi, Alisa. We just want
to- Hello, guys. I'm sorry. I was just running late.
No worries. Could you introduce yourself a little bit? I know this is a little abrupt, but.
Sure. First, thank you so much for inviting us for the group. It's a pleasure for us. My name is Elisa. I am the head of marketing of Blockforce, which is a Brazilian startup for blockchain for social impact. So I think we have a lot in common. So all of our projects has something to do with social impact.
Thank you, Elisa, and welcome. So actually, I think folks here might remember a presentation that Andre had given us from Blockforce.
Right.
Yeah, he had spoken to us a couple months ago. So thank you, and you know, welcome for joining the SIG. And we're probably looking forward to kind of getting more engagement and working a little bit more with you guys. So
sure. Thank you so much. It would be a pleasure to change all of we have. Our knowledge and so on.
Awesome. So a few things that we'll go through before we move into the community presentation. One thing I think we talked about in the last call was the State of Social Impact blog post. Lindsay is going to be leading that effort, but what we're trying to do is really cultivate a blog post talking about the frontier of social impact and how, you know, folks have been applying blockchain technology to the different sectors. Alicia, actually, you weren't on the call for that one. I actually wanted to ask you if you were interested in working on the agriculture section for that.
I would love to. I was actually going to send you a note on that, so thank you.
All right. I will
follow up with you on that or somebody else?
Why don't you do this? Follow up with me and I'll link you to Lindsay on that.
Okay.
The email or something like that. We can link.
But
awesome. Sounds great. And then, so the other thing is I did want to kind of open this, floor to everyone who's on the call. If anyone else is interested, I know we had quite a few responses, Vinod, Sean, and I think a couple other folks were also really interested in this. So if you guys are interested in this, either send me a note or just, throw it into this meeting notes. And we're right at this point trying to kind of compile a list of folks that are interested in kind of contributing to this blog post. The other thing is the Social Impact Special Interest Group Resource Center. So I know we've been talking about this for quite a bit about developing this. And Sean, I think in the last call you mentioned that you were interested in this. So I want to get this off the ground pretty quickly. So if anyone is interested in working on this, I'm probably going to be sending out a new outline sometime next week, this week actually, for folks to fill in for the resource center issues. So one of the things that we'll be doing with this is compiling kind of resources, and Bobby, I think the process that you went through for determining your blockchain, global government blockchain association project that you had pitched would be a great asset to this resource center. But essentially, like for folks that are new to social impact or have been in the space and are looking to kind of get a little bit more, expand their knowledge base across the various sectors and across how social impact can benefit using blockchain technologies, we wanted to develop initially a center for that. And so that will be coming out shortly for folks that are interested in kind of helping out. So one of the things I will say is like, it'll be an outline with just a couple of links or a couple of information pieces. It's really going to be, reliant on you guys who have been in the industry and are working, steadfastly in this industry to give us feedback and also contribute in any way, and just giving us some articles, some information, things that have helped you as you're growing your businesses and your projects. Any comments, feedback before we move on? Sounds good. And then the other thing is, so we're always looking for new projects that we can work on as a SIG. So if there is ever any ideas that you guys have, any comments or things like that, feel free to add those even in our meeting list, our meeting agendas beforehand. I think Bobby did those really well, and she set a great example with the last call. But like being able to just feel free to add anything and these meeting agendas so that we can make sure that we capture all the things that folks want to discuss. One thing that we'll have to postpone to the next one, so I don't think Tamara and Paige Marks from AWS made it to this call, is So we're actually, so AWS right now is working on a project on animal identification. So they're looking for help from the SIG to help them with this project. So I will leave them to discuss kind of the project details. And I think I'll reach out to them and see if they can make it to the next call. But I did want folks to kind of be aware that this is something that's currently in the works. So the other thing that I kind of stumbled upon, and I wanted to see if you guys had seen, were these Hyperledger weekend updates. So they're usually sent around kind of the later half of the week, and they're just kind of different resources and different like ways that you can learn more about blockchain, you know, different projects and kind of virtual meetups, meetup times, and then like the webinars on the different sectors. One other thing I thought was really interesting was the African perspective and economic recovery, especially given this, the time in COVID-19, it's kind of unpredictable. So I'll start posting these in our meeting agendas, but these are available on a weekly basis. And I believe folks that have their subscribed to Hyperledger's like mailing list will get sent that information. Then is there something you wanted to add? All right, sounds good. So are there any other comments, feedback, anything? Anything I'm missing? All right, awesome. Sounds good. Oh, yes.
No, I said it looks good.
Oh, great. Thanks. So then without further ado, I'll introduce Milton. So Milton, thank you so much for making it. We're really looking forward to it. So I think Karen said some great things about the projects that you guys are working on, especially for Buenos Aires. So Milton, can you start off with just a kind of introduce to the community a little bit about yourself and about IOV Labs? And do you want me to continue to share my screen or give you a host so that you can kind of flip through the slides on your own?
No, you can present if you want. I'll tell you when you move to the next one.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, again, thanks for inviting me and IOV Labs to be here. So a brief introduction of what IOV Labs is. It's a foundation, a nonprofit foundation that holds the co-founders of the RSK blockchain. I don't know if you know about it, but it's a blockchain that uses merge mining with the Bitcoin blockchain and has an upper layer of smart contracts, has an Ethereum virtual machine on top of Bitcoin, we could say, and has the almost in between 40 and 60% of the Bitcoin hashing power to secure the blockchain. And it is, well, it's fully compatible with Solidity and Ethereum smart contracts, but with this merge mining with Bitcoin. So it all started in 2015 with RSK, and then it was built a Reef infrastructure framework that is like an upper layer on top of RSK for developers to interact with blockchain. And doesn't know much about blockchain, like helping this transition. And then like IOV Labs is the company that funds these two projects, the Reef and RSK. So myself, I joined this year to Reef, to be the product owner of Reef Identity, that is the identity and reputation layer for the Reef ecosystem. And also I have been working for almost 2 years at another project that is called Didi. That is the one I want to talk about today. That it's a self-sovereign identity project for social impact. That is, I will now go further on it, but well, I worked there for almost 2 years as a CTO, and now here I joined to IoB Labs to build this identity layer. So that's kind of me. I don't know if you want me to start with the presentation of the Didi project.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, great. Okay, so we can move to the next one. As I was saying, this is a self-sovereign identity use case, and it is executed by Bitcoin Argentina NGO together with IDB Lab, the Inter-American Development Bank, their innovation studio that is called IDB Lab, and many other partners such as Riff and IOB Labs. And the thing is that unbanked populations living in slums all around the world have just struggled with what is known as the poverty penalties. Because of information asymmetries, they have to pay more for products and services because they don't have access to formal credit records with traditional institutions. And we are now in Didi, we are working in one neighborhood that is called Barrio Mujica. It is one of the biggest slums in Argentina, where almost 40,000 people live there nowadays. And we are developing a mobile decentralized identity app and platforms to tackle these issues I have been mentioning. Do you want to move to the next one slide? Mm-hmm. Well, we are based in Argentina, but well, this is a bigger project. It's a non-for-profit project in which Riff, as I was saying, is one of the main partners. Also, we partner with Accenture, NEC, Attix Labs, Grupo Semillas, and other ones that you can see in the slide. If you can move to the next one. We are creating a verifiable ID and reputation platform with no barriers to enter. For example, we will offer savings and credit peer clubs feature and also interaction with microcredit institutions such as Grupo Semillas. It's a microcredit institution in Barrio Mujica. And these interactions will be fully verifiable and reusable. You won't need any intermediary to use them. Please move to the next one. I won't get much deep in each slide. Maybe then if you want, you can ask for questions. But Didi's core functionality is brought by the verifiable credentials concept, that is digitally signed attestation from an issuer about a subject or a citizen. We are fully based on the W3C verifiable credentials and DID standards. Please move to the next one. So what do you think? We have a difference in Didi project regarding other SSI projects, and it's on the information flux. In most of the self-sovereign identity projects that we know, the information continues to be unidirectional from the traditional institutions to the people. But in Didi, it is bidirectional. We have the possibility for the people to generate useful information for institutions from their daily informal interactions. So with verifiable credentials and blockchain technology, we help to make this bidirectional flow. If you can, great, you're in the next one. So about the technology we use, it will be fully open source. And the first version will be an Android mobile app. We will follow the W3C, as I said, DID and verifiable credential standards. We are using UPort technology, and it's fully compatible with what is called Riff Identity. And we also use Riff Storage as a credential backup. And something important to mention is that we're going to be blockchain agnostic. or multi-blockchain, our first use case will be fully deployed on Rscape, but in the future we could, other blockchains could join us and complement our solution. Okay, we are in the end. Yeah, oh, yes. No, it's okay. I want to tell you a little bit about the roadmap. We are about to finish the MVP development. The go live of the app in the neighborhood won't be as easy as expected because of this complicated situation of coronavirus. Especially in these vulnerable neighborhoods, the virus is spreading a little bit faster than in the rest of the city. It's not a good thing to know, but because of this, we also know our project is more important now than before because the people tend to be locked down, isolated, and they don't usually use much digital tools. So we are helping these populations to try to start using it and have these benefits, not only from our platform or what I told you before of our project, but also like digital alphabetization. There are some interesting links if you want to know more about the project. The project is looking for funding. So if you are interested or you know any foundation or company that is interesting in becoming a partner, you can contact us. There is that email, or you can also contact me. Nancy has my contact. So I think that's it from my side. If you have any questions, that video link is really interesting. Also, yes, move to the next one. About Reef Identity, you can now know about Reef infrastructure framework, Rscape infrastructure framework, that is Reef open standards, in this website, and also the Reef Identity layer. You can know more in that link. Thank you for letting me presenting. If you have any doubts, I am here to answer them.
So the floor is open for questions, and just for so that the folks know, these slides will be available off of our meeting agenda, and I will also include Milton's contact information for folks that are interested.
Milton, thank you so much for sharing this today. It's really interesting. Really appreciate that you're building this as a multi-blockchain platform and that it's agnostic. I'm curious about, is the data that's being uploaded, is it being stored on-chain or off-chain? And how are the gas costs being paid?
Okay, yes, that's a good question. We don't store any personal information on-chain, anything at all, because we think that we like and we encourage to use public blockchains. And if we do that, as the word says, it's public, and most of the information we store and we empower the people to start gathering to feed their reputation. It's personal and should be private, and only the owner of the data should be the one that controls who sees it and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. So we store it in external tools such as Reef Storage that is compatible with IPFS and Swarm. Mm-hmm. But yes, the people have their own buckets to encrypted buckets that they can only see and decrypt by themselves. And then if they want, they can share information. If they don't want, they don't share. But yes, the info is not stored on chain in this case.
Thank you. And how are the gas costs being paid?
For now, the interactions with blockchain are fully covered by the project. We have this the project between Bitcoin Argentina and IDB Bank is to understand if we can tackle this as a asymmetry of information problem, and also the poverty penalty problems. That is a hypothesis, and we want to know if we are on the right path. And we, this is a four-year project, and we will subsidize any type of cost, such as gas, for this hypothesis to be demonstrated or not in the first waves of the on the first releases of the solution. So the user won't know and doesn't need to know about the concept of gas, and they don't have to have any funds to pay for it. So we think in that sense we could have more adoption to understand if this is something that will be useful in the future.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark. I have a few questions. I didn't quite get what identity aspects and personal information you're putting on chain to create the self-sovereign identity. And then how that's being cross-validated with state identification, centralized systems. And then, I was also just curious on how you're matching this information, because I'm assuming it's to give credit to the unbanked. And then how that is, what other aspects it might be involved when someone signs up for this, it would filter into their credit scores, and how that's being managed from a personal data privacy perspective. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We can go, can I ask you to go to slide number 4? Thanks. So we can go deeper in this slide to answer that question. As I said, we will offer two main features for these informal interactions to be now attested in verifiable credentials and also in blockchain. The first one I would like to mention is the microcredit one. We are interacting with this institution that is called Grupo Semillas, that usually gives microcredits in poor neighborhoods or vulnerable neighborhoods in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And they usually do it, and they all, they have an interview with the people. It's case by case, and they know them, and they know if they can repay. They do this kind of interview that then Semillas. And also these are group credits that they give the credit for a group of 5 people that they don't know each other. And they all have to be up to date with the payments. If they don't do it, if one doesn't do it, the rest of the group has problems. So they try to not to bother their group partners. That's something interesting. And they almost have 100% of repayments of all their credits. They have been given more than 200 in this Barrio Mujica neighborhood. So that's interesting. And we are interacting with them for them to attest these things, that such as these social interviews, for example, or how they are paying or not paying their credits, or if they are defaulting or not. This information that nowadays is kept only by Semillas. Semillas is now eager to share it to the user as verifiable credentials. So now the user will have a verifiable credential signed by Semillas, saying that they have been taking credits for 2 years and they have not defaulted, even once. So nowadays, for example, a bank doesn't know anything about the people that is inside these slums. But in the future, with these verifiable credentials, they could go to a bank and say, okay, this I got this information that is signed by this institution. You can know them. You can publicly get in touch with them. But they have attested that me. That I have this credit score or this reputation, so they could ask for better conditions for credit or any service they want to ask for. Nowadays they don't even have a chance to do that, so they don't there will be also intermediate steps, such as maybe another Semillas institution. You can go with your verified credentials and ask them for a credit, and don't start from scratch as you would have to in the past. So we think that with this kind of solution, we can reduce these poverty penalties and its information asymmetry that happens nowadays, because the bank or the government doesn't have time, or they don't take the time to have information of these informal or vulnerable neighborhoods. We will offer this. And also, that is the microcredit part. I don't know if I could make myself explain. If you know, you can ask me about that use case.
Yeah, I mean, well, just there, I mean, are the credits in crypto, or is that in Argentinian pesos?
No, they will continue with the actual flow. Nowadays, it's in Argentinian pesos. So there won't be any crypto in the wallet. We will only handle the attestations from the institutions. In the future, we want, or we think now with this situation, that we should add something related to a token or whatever digital money, because they always did a transaction in cash. Like 100% of the transaction in these slums is in cash, because of the privacy cash has, and they don't need for a digital tool to do it. But nowadays, with these lockdown problems, maybe they would need digital cash or crypto or something. We are thinking about this right now, but actually nowadays we are not working with that kind of solution.
And also, just to follow up, I mean, so if they get the attestation from some ES, it goes to their, it's like an app in their phone, or how does that work? I mean, and what's the authentication that they are validating that it is attached to that person? So if I'm in the area in Buenos Aires and I'm talking to someone who shows me this authentication from Samias with a name on it, that I know that that name and that attestation is attached to the person that I'm engaging with.
Okay, that's a great question also. We are offering non-mandatory for downloading the app, but it is mandatory if you want to interact with Semillas. You have to attest who you are. There is a service, a national service, it's an API where you show your face, take a selfie, and you show your identification card, and also a life proof. And with all that information, the API answers if you, or the name and the national ID number attach it to that face. So we attest another credential where it says this decentralized identifier. We work with decentralized identifier. So there is an attestation from that interaction that says this decentralized identifier is tied to this national identification number. So when you go to Semillas, you need to show that verifiable credential to them for them to start attesting for you. That's the case there.
So Semillas would get a picture, would get a copy of your face, but what is the way for them to then authenticate that the phone holder
is the person?
Because it will just say, the phone might just say this person is authenticated as a name, but I mean, just to connect to that person that's in your office.
Yes. Nowadays, they will continue the traditional flow where they meet in person. That for this MVP, that won't change. So they know the people they are interacting with, and they have when they start in this interaction, they get their national identification card. So they know their face and their number, their national ID number. And they may even be there when they do the ID attestation for this first MVP, but on the other hand, they will receive the information attested from the credential, and they will trust in that, because they know their people they are interacting with. This is Semillas is really close to the users. Maybe in the future, if Semillas gets bigger or we interact with bigger institutions, we have to add other type of checks. But nowadays, they know the people, they meet the persons, they feel comfortable as knowing that the somebody that holds that has installed the app has also verified that their face matches this identity number. So for this part, they will use it. Maybe in the future we can add more verifications. I don't know if I could manage to explain myself.
Thank you. I mean, what would be, in your opinion, the greatest benefit of this information being on blockchain?
Well, it's not on blockchain, actually. So I don't think there is much benefit because in these cases, it is better to have, or the most interesting thing that blockchain could add is like to have an attestation to know who signed it and for whom it was signed. But you can have this with verifiable credentials and you don't need blockchain for that. So that's what I think, is that for this kind of stuff, you don't need blockchain. But for instance, we have the other use case, that is these savings and credit period clubs that are called rondas in Argentina, but in other places they are called lending clubs or juntas or pasanacus or whatever. That is another type of non-traditional financial system way for the people in the slums to save or to access to credit. It's an example of this is 10 people gather and they put a fixed amount of money each week, for example, 500 pesos. And with a lottery, the one person gets the whole pot. So the one that wins the lottery in the first round will get like a credit, and the one that has the latest number, for example, he would have been saving money without the need of a bank, and the credit is interest with zero interest, and you have saved money without you having the problem of having all that money in your home. This is a way, like a millenary way of saving money or having credit, and it's also used in Asia, Africa, and many parts of America. And it's really popular in slums in Argentina. We are also, in this case, we are using blockchain for this attestation because we need timestamps there to know when this lottery happened and when and who takes the money in each round. And also if the money has been paid or not, or if someone has defaulted or not. In this case, we are using blockchain for this savings peer club rounds. And in that case, at the end of the rounds, you also get a verifiable credential that states what happened in that round. Nowadays, these rounds will be in blockchain, but it will be only attestations of all the participants saying, okay, Nancy has paid, Alicia has paid, Mark has paid. So the round is now clear and we go to the next one. So you sign that information. And also Nancy can say, yes, I have paid, Alicia has paid. It's cross-checked, these attestations in blockchain. And here it's important that you have the timestamp. But in the future, it would be really great if we could also add like a token for these rounds to be paid, because you will like close the circle there, and it's fully decentralized. But nowadays they continue using cash, but attesting in blockchain. So we have these main two use cases where the people will start feeding their identity or reputation, their self-sovereign identity bucket, if you would say. And well, and also, as you can see in the slides, you will not only construct this credit history, you will construct identity. For example, in the slums, it's really difficult to say where you live. They don't have like a street or number, or gate number or whatever. So it's difficult for you to attest where you live. But for example, semillas that goes to your home and makes your the interview, they will be issuing an attestation that, okay, you live here, and I, Semillas, attest this. But also we will add the attestation from the API I told you before. If there is any address you can show. And well, that's it. We think we can expand it also to, we are working on the possibility to have like, you say educational courses that where you will receive verifiable credentials, and also the government is interested in a possibility to give like temporary land property titles.
And is Semillas just it's a banking, it's like a registered bank in Argentina, or because I mean there might be a possibility to connect the similar technology with to crowdfund, to fund there, and then to provide more credit potentially? Or are you not looking at that because it's connected to the banking system in Argentina?
No, it could work. That could work for sure. We don't want to give us credit, not to give money to the people as a project, but it would be great for us to be a connector to do that kind of stuff. We are not tackling that at this moment, but it could be.
Great. Any more questions for Milton? Awesome. So thank you so much, Milton, for this presentation. I think it was extremely insightful, especially into like learning more about how you guys construct ID for the some of the slums in Buenos Aires. I think that was the one thing that I really took away from, as a enabling.
Yes, we want to enable, include, and reduce intermediaries where they are not needed. Yes, to help.
Absolutely. So if we don't have any more questions, I think we can probably end this meeting a little bit early. And so just so everyone, I just want to reiterate, I will definitely send Milton's contact information for anyone who wants to follow up with him and any questions that you might have. And Milton, feel free to kind of, if you have the time, feel free to join our calls, and we're really looking forward to kind of continue engaging with you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Yes, anything you need, just let me know. The project is eager to have collaboration and to give information and conclusions, and also to have new partners. There are many use cases to be built, so anything can be helpful. So thanks.
Absolutely. And actually, Milton, to your point, one thing that we do like to extend to all our presenters, because we have a community that works on this in this field so much, a lot. If there are any asks that you have for us, ways that we can help as a SIG, let us know. I think you mentioned that you guys are open for collaborators, for different things, but those are definitely ways that we're interested in kind of helping with some of our community members.
I was mute.
Oh,
but yes, any help can be useful for us. So I think that the best way would be anyone that needs or that is interested, they can contact me or the email that was in the presentation, and we can talk about it. We are really open to find collaboration. And also we want to expand if our hypotheses are correct, and we think that this will help. We want to expand it to other parts of the world.
Awesome, sounds great. All right, so thank you guys. And I hope you guys all had a great Memorial Day holiday if that is celebrated in your region, and have a great day. Thank you, Milton, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Milton. Thank you, guys. It was amazing. Really nice presentation.
Thanks a lot to everyone. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Bye.
Bye.